Good evening, my friends. This is Hour 2. I'm Mark Levin. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. By the way, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have the most spectacular battlefield reporter from who's been reporting from Iraq now for a very long time, internationally acclaimed at this point. Really a unique reporter and a unique individual. His name is Michael Yon. And the book is Moment of Truth in Iraq. You can get it on Amazon.com, and we'll be promoting it on MarkLevinShow.com. It's linked right there. You're not going to want to miss this. This is not your typical reporter, many of you who don't know who Michael Yon is. And he is a former Green Beret, and his reporting has been absolutely exceptional, and he doesn't do it from the green zone. He does it from combat areas at great personal risk to his life, because he wants to tell the true story about what's going on. Bottom of the hour, you won't want to miss it. We'll have a great interview with him. Well, it's a great honor to have Michael Yon on this program. He doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is, and I follow his reporting all the time. He's written a tremendous book called Moment of Truth in Iraq, which you can get at Amazon.com, and we will have on my website, Moment of Truth in Iraq. Mr. Yon, how are you, sir?
Very good, because I'm in America. I just got back from Iraq, you know, about 10 days or 2 weeks ago. This was a short trip. I was only there 2 months this time, but it's just so good to be home and have my feet on American soil.
I'll bet. And now, and when you report, you don't really hang out in the green zone. You're in the combat areas, aren't you?
Yeah, I've spent maybe 4 or 5 days, let's say, in the green zone over the last 3 years, so I'm only there if I have to go to pass through.
Now, you're former Green Beret, correct?
Yes, back in the 80s.
Back in the
80s. Right.
And why did you decide to go to Iraq and report from Iraq?
Well, you know, I lost three friends. I lost a friend who was a Polish writer named Beata Pawlik. She was killed in the Bali bombing, wherein about 200 people were killed by Islamic terrorists. And then I lost another old Special Forces friend. We were teammates together in the Army. Richard Ferguson was killed on March 30th, 2004 in Samarra, Iraq. And then the next day, March 31st, another friend, Scott Helvenston, I went to high school with him. He was one of the Blackwater contractors who was murdered and mutilated in Fallujah. So I went to their funerals. I went to Richard's funeral in Colorado. I went to Scott's funeral in Florida. And there were a lot of military people at both funerals. And they kept saying to me, you should go to the war and report on it. That was April of 2004 at this point, you know, because I'm a writer. And I said, no, I'm not going to go to Iraq. I'm not going to the war. But in April of the same month, you know, the Abu Ghraib photos broke. And obviously that was a huge setback for us. And it was also, we were attacking Fallujah that month, another overreaction, a huge setback for us. And but I still refused to go. But through the year, Army friends, in particular one named Lieutenant Colonel Rodney Morris, I went to high school with him, he kept calling me and emailing from Iraq saying, get over here, and you need to write about the war because the whole story is not being told. And I finally did go in December of 2004, and I stayed almost the entire year of 2005, and then came back to the United States, eventually went over to Afghanistan, and then back to Iraq.
Well, is the whole war story being told?
No. And, you know, there's very few journalists who have stuck it out long enough to even achieve the ability, you know, the context, you know, to tell the story. Because you really have to stick it out through time. You can't go over there for 2 weeks or even 2 months and imagine that you're going to come back with enough knowledge in your head to tell people about what's going on. You have to get all over the country. You have to see many different things. And it takes really a long time, and so there's very few journalists who have done it.
What should people like me in this country know about Iraq that we're not learning from the mainstream media coverage of the war?
Well, one thing is that there's actually a lot of hope there. For instance, the Iraqi people are relatively westernized. They believe in education, seriously believe in education. You know, University of Mosul is about the size of the University of Michigan. I mean, there's just, you know, that I've seen, I've been into maybe 50 Iraqi schools, and they're teaching basic subjects. They're not teaching, you know, religious studies or something. They're teaching mathematics, English, just basic things, you know. So they're very relatively westernized, and they do want to move forward. And as time has progressed, they've begun to embrace the U.S. military, and, you know, although we had... So we're seeing a lot of emulation going on, and I just see a great deal of progress in Iraq. I see a different story in Afghanistan, by the way, but I'm very concerned about Afghanistan. I see it going the wrong direction, but I have a great deal of hope for Iraq.
Well, tell us, we'll get to Afghanistan in a second. So tell us, were we making progress before the surge?
Yes, we were, but we had some serious difficulties. We were making progress in standing up the Iraqi army. They were definitely getting better and better month by month. They're remarkably better now in 2008 than they were in 2005. But the one major problem that we had was Al-Qaeda in particular. There's many different insurgent groups there, but Al-Qaeda in particular was trying to foment civil war. And I first reported that Iraq was in civil war in February of 2005, which is about a year ahead of anybody else. And I got a lot of flack for it. But by 2006, it became clear that Al-Qaeda in particular was pushing all the right buttons to cause the Iraqis to fight each other. That was part of their strategy. And so, despite that we were making so much progress with the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police and standing up the Iraqi government, as corrupt as it is, Al-Qaeda was undermining that with the civil war. And so, with the Anbar awakening in 2006, 2007, and the surge of 2007 and the new tactics that General Petraeus brought to the battlefields, Al-Qaeda has been just beaten down. They're still dangerous, but we're crushing them. And so the civil war has abated precipitously, and there is no more civil war, actually. And so now our principal difficulties there now are what's left of Al-Qaeda, which is not a lot compared to what used to be, and the JAM special groups, which can be dealt with in different ways.
You know what upsets me, if I may say so, is here you are, an individual citizen. You go over to Iraq and Afghanistan. You go to where the action is, put your life on the line. You have enormous contacts. You don't have any reason to be biased one way or another. You're not part of the left or the right or anything of that kind. And yet we have media organizations in this country with enormous resources, with scores and scores of investigative reporters. Why aren't they doing what you do?
I think some are. Like New York Times is actually, I stopped reading New York Times after the Jason Blair, debacles, and the editorial debacles therein. But I started again after I saw their coverage from Iraq. I mean, I'm talking about their on-the-ground reporters. There's some like Michael Gordon and John Brown who have stuck it out, Dexter Filkins. There are a few, but not many. And it's just very difficult. This is the most dangerous war in history for journalists. More journalists have been killed in this war even than World War II. Most of those are Iraqi journalists, but it's also lethal for Western journalists because they're specifically targeting us. Also, it's very tough. There's no outlets. There's no release. If you were covering Vietnam, they could live in Saigon and have a girlfriend or whatever they did over there, but they could have another life besides the war. In Iraq, when you're there, when you put your foot on the ground, that's it. It's nothing but war until you leave. And so when you come in there, my first trip was about 8 months long. That's it, 8 months of war. I just got back 2 months straight. There's just no breaks whatsoever. So, most journalists just won't stick it out that long.
The book is Moment of Truth in Iraq. It is a truly fascinating book by a great, you're a patriot for going over there, putting your life on the line, allowing people like me to look over your shoulder. The author is Michael Young. I want to ask you a couple questions. The photograph on the cover of your book is world-renowned, with the soldier holding the little baby in a blanket face to face. Tell me about that.
I shot that photo on May 2nd, 2005 in Mosul. That's a northern city in Iraq. Suicide car bomber had apparently sized up some of our guys who were in a striker vehicle. There were a bunch of kids that had run out, and the girl in the blanket on that photo of the cover of the book, her name is Farah, she ran out, her mother said later, she ran out barefooted to wave at the Americans who, you know, soldiers who throw candy at the kids and that kind of thing. And there was about 20 other kids. And the suicide car bomber could have easily waited two or three blocks to attack our guys. But instead, he attacked right through the kids and detonated the vehicle right when all the kids were around. And one boy was killed outright. And then Farah, she was very badly wounded. And her mom or another woman rushed her over to Walt Gaia, who was one of our snipers. He was pushing out to a sniper position, but instead of pushing out, he grabbed her, ran back with her to the medics. The medics started working on her. And that's when Mark Beeger found her. Major Mark Beeger, he's the one holding her in the picture. He scooped her up, wrapped her in a blanket, and started running with her back to another striker to get her to the hospital, loaded up some of her family, and drove off with her to the hospital. Unfortunately, she died. And that photo on the cover is a photo of Mark rushing her to the striker.
Well, every time I look at that photo, as I'm looking at it right now, it brings tears to my eyes, because that photo says it all, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that photo really underlines the book. It underlines the American combat soldier. I mean, soldiers love kids. They get along very well with the Iraqi kids. Iraqi kids tend to love the soldiers, and I mean, you see their bright smiles, and they're always out waving, or maybe they want candy. If you give them too much candy, they turn into real brats. But I mean, seriously.
Yeah, like every other country.
Yeah, they're like Uber brats when you give them too much candy. But they love the soldiers even before they've ever given. I mean, because I go out to villages all the time that haven't seen many soldiers, and they instantly like American soldiers. And American soldiers, combat soldiers, for some reason, really like kids. And this is not something you can train somebody to be like, you know. And so it's kind of funny because it pays off with their parents. Their parents see that the kids like soldiers, the soldiers like the kids. Well, these guys can't be that bad, you know. And so, you know, I see the soldiers helping the kids all the time. I've seen them get kids back to America for medical treatment. I've seen that over and over and over. I've seen them scoop up a kid and probably against regulations, just take them back to base and get them treated for something, you know. I mean, it's really something that's really paid off for us.
Now, you talk frankly about going out on missions, your former Green Beret, picking up a weapon when it was necessary to defend yourself and the men you were with. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that day, one soldier, Daniel Lama, had been shot in the neck by a sniper. He ended up being okay, actually. It was just kind of a graze, but it seemed a little bit bad at first. But Daniel ended up being fine. But we went out looking for the sniper. I was with Colonel Eric Carrilla and Sergeant Major Rob Prosser and a lot of other soldiers. So we're out hunting the snipers, and the next thing you know, we found some people that seemed like bad guys and started chasing them. And it was a pretty high-speed chase involving some Kiowa helicopters and that kind of thing. And one of the Kiowas ended up shooting into the car and to disable it. And these guys, three guys, dismounted from one of the cars or that car. And we ended up running, you know, in a firefight in an alley with these guys. And Eric Carrilla, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Carrilla, he got shot three times right in front of me. You can see photos in the book because I happened to be photographing him the second he got shot. And it ended up being a pretty tight and close firefight. And, you know, as a journalist, you're not supposed to pick up a weapon. But I really thought Eric was about to get killed, and there was a weapon on the ground. And it was, you know, well, I mean, I did it. I mean, I'm not a combatant. That's the only time I've ever done it. And, you know, I don't carry a weapon over there. And I don't fire one.
From me or our audience, you're going to get any criticism here. So I think that's that's a good thing.
I don't want people to think I'm out there as a cowboy engaging in combat, because I don't. No. I will not let an American soldier get killed in front of me, though, I can tell you that.
This is Michael Yon, an internationally renowned journalist. He didn't start out that way. He's become that. The magnificent book is Moment of Truth in Iraq, Amazon.com, MarkLevinShow.com. Can you hold on with us for a little longer?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
All right, we'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
On the phone with us, Michael Yon, the outstanding journalist and author of the outstanding book, Moment of Truth in Iraq. And let me just say quickly, you have a good friend in Glenn Reynolds at InstantPundit.com. Good man. All right, Mr. Yon, now tell us, whatever happened to that colonel who was shot three times?
Colonel Eric Carrilla, the man's like RoboCop. He was the full-on fighter. I'd seen him fighting for 5 months straight. I was with him most of the time. He had 181 casualties in his battalion out of about 700 people, and he was the 181st. Well, when he got shot in front of me those three times, one of which shattered his femur, knocked it right in half, he kept on fighting. You know, I've got pictures of it. And then, anyway, he recovered, fully recovered, after 8 months after having his femur shot in half. So he went back and commanded another battalion and did another combat tour, so that's his second tour. Then he went back and did another tour. That was his third tour, and now he's on his fourth tour. I mean, the guy's like RoboCop. It's like he just is a complete warrior, and he's very inspiring to his men. Every journalist who ever goes out with him comes back singing his praises. I mean, very good with the Iraqi people. Just what we need.
You have unbelievable photographs in this book. I just want the audience to know it because... I mean, you're right. Action shots, if you will. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, let me ask you this. We're tight time on this particular site. Can you tell the listeners about the Navy SEAL team? We'll start it here. The ambush of Al-Qaeda team that was trying to do the quote-unquote documentary of the broken-down truck?
That was another Carrilla classic. Actually, Rob Shaw, who was a company commander in the battalion at the time, thought it up. You know how they'll shoot video, the enemy will shoot video and they'll be dancing around burning the flag or pumping their AK-47s in the air?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they used to do that a lot in Mosul. And so what they did was that our guys staged an attack to make it look like a friendly vehicle had been hit. They set it on fire and used some explosives and all.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. I want you to tell me how this worked out in the end, okay? Michael Yan, Moment of Truth in Iraq. We'll finish the story when we come back. By the way, if you want to go to Michael Yan's website when he's over in Iraq or Afghanistan, he updates it routinely. It's Michael Yan, that's Y-O-N, one word, michaelyan-online.com. We will link to it on marklevinshow.com. The book that I want to encourage you to take a look at is Moment of Truth in Iraq by Michael Yan. All right, so they set up this scene, and what happened, sir?
Well, they did the explosions and all that, and the enemy actually came out and our guys, by the way, they evacuated some sandbags that were made to look like humans. So they, you know, the bad guys thought they killed some of us and all this. So they come out and they start doing the AK-47 monkey pump, you know, pumping the rifles in the air, and the Navy SEALs were hidden nearby with sniper rifles, and they just started killing them, And anyway, long story short, they killed some of them, and of course you can't shoot too much because they'll find your position. And you know, they pulled out. But later on, as months went by, it's kind of strange because they never realized snipers got them. They thought that our guys killed them with silent helicopters. So they never did know what happened to them.
Those silent helicopters—they're a hell of a thing.
Yeah, those silent helicopters are hell. They're called Navy SEALs with sniper rifles.
Exactly. Now, I don't want to know where you're going back to exactly, but when do you leave this country and go back to Iraq?
Well, it's all right to say where. I left my gear in Mosul, Iraq. You know, there's a big fight shaping up in Nineveh. We're squeezing out Al-Qaeda's breath, which I've written about recently. And I want to be there, to see how this shapes up because we're really crushing them. They're still dangerous, but we're knocking them down.
I think this is very, very important that the American people understand, and I really want you folks to keep in touch with this website, michaelyan-online.com, and get up-to-date actual information. We are kicking Al-Qaeda's ass, right?
We are. I mean, they're tough. They're very tough, and they regenerate, but we're tougher, and we kill them faster than they can regenerate. So they're just not doing too well. I think Al-Qaeda's not too happy with what's going on in Iraq right now.
All right. Well, Mr. Yan, I want you to be careful over there. It's great to meet you, and we wish you all the best. God bless you, sir.
I appreciate your having me on. I'm always available to you, Mark.
All right. God bless him. We're going to make use of him. Moment of Truth in Iraq by Michael Yan. Go get it, Amazon.com. We salute all the heroes out there, whether you work in the foreign sphere, the domestic sphere, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Mark Levin.